This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. The three-pack is back. The three-pack is a great value, and the top three uses for the air purifier are to eliminate odors, allergens, and air pollutants. Get the three-pack today at EdenPureDeals.com and put in code word Howie3.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston. You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. Thank you all so much for joining me today. I'm thrilled to be here. I'm just going over some of these Joe Biden cuts, you know, and I feel deflated just even knowing that I have to play a couple of these. I'm only going to play a few. The one I want to start with, because he cannot let this one go. He loves that kitchen table. The man loves a kitchen table, or so we thought. There's been a switch up here. For as long as I can remember, my president, Joe Chocolate Chip Biden, loved to talk about how he understands the problem with inflation. He understands what we're feeling, what we're going through, because when gas was high when he was a child,
I can taste it.
He can taste it. Yeah, he can. He can taste it. He can stick his nose into the bowl and taste it. But when he was a child, when his mom and dad weren't staring at the ceiling fan or telling him to not just keep the faith, but spread it, they were oftentimes talking about gas prices, which were pretty flat throughout his childhood. But don't let that get in the way of this great anecdote that he likes to tell. So they would talk about gas prices around the kitchen table. It's something I've heard over and over again. I hear it constantly now. It's like a song I can't get out of my head, sitting around the kitchen table.
We based a game show around it.
We did. We based a game show around it. And now, right when I'm starting to fully understand just how important this kitchen table was to Joe Biden, I can almost see it in my mind. I can see Marianne sitting in the sunroom at the old Biden house and maybe talking to Ambrose Finnegan, Joe's grandfather, while everyone else sat around the kitchen table and talked to each other about the important things going on in the world. And now he throws a curveball at us, Jared. He tells us something that none of us expected. It's going to bring me to tears here. Let's have cut four, please.
I literally can remember sitting at my mom and dad's dining room table and watching them choose which bills they're going to pay this next that month.
Hold on a second. The dining room table? Sitting, and did he say sitting in the dining room table? Wait, can, you know what?
Turns out he did.
You know what? Let's just replay this entire clip, please.
I literally can remember sitting at my mom and dad's dining room table and watching them choose which bills they're going to pay this next that month, because there wasn't enough money to pay all the bills. I get it. That's why I'm doing everything in my power to lower the cost for families.
So not only was it not a kitchen table, so I've been bamboozled on that one. I've been completely bamboozled. But to make matters worse, I can't even understand what that means to be sitting inside of a table. Have you ever sat inside of a table, Jared?
I have not. Maybe they had an expanding table with a leaf, and they took the leaf out of the middle. And
oh,
he just put a chair in there, kind of like Ron Swanson in the episode where he got that circular disc.
Or maybe he stood in the middle of it like someone who's like sticking their body outside of a limousine when they stand up through the sunroof.
Oh, yeah. He was table surfing.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You know what? On second thought, that makes perfect sense.
You know what? For this guy, it does make perfect sense.
And he was also talking about the Inflation Reduction Act, because he's very proud about this. And we are going to get to an update for you from Chuck Schumer, which I find just hilarious. But he's talking about this bill. And who better to tell you how great this bill is than the man who's been wrong on absolutely everything for the last 2 years, Joe Biden has such a way with words. And when you come to a thick piece of pork like the one we're about to get, that is just saturated with spending and loopholes and just money, 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 money. Who better to break that down for the American people and to explain it to all of us people who sit in the booths at restaurants, who can't understand the supply chain crisis, who can't understand what a good job he's doing? We need Professor Biden to explain this. He is a professor, by the way. And when he explains these things to us, all of us deplorables, I start to feel a lot of sympathy for his former students. Because when he was a professor, if this was the kind of stuff he was coming out with, I have to imagine that exam time was tough for these kids. I have to imagine that they were saying, I don't remember being taught any of this. Does anyone have this in their notes? I don't remember this question. This is Joe Biden explaining the new Diet Build Back Better Inflation Reduction Act. Cut 10.
This bill will not raise taxes on anybody making less than $400,000 a year. When it comes to the benefits of this bill, you don't have to take my word for it. Nearly 130 economists, 7 Nobel laureates in economics, former secretaries of Treasury, former Federal Reserve Vice Chair, former Director of the Congressional Budget Office wrote that this bill will, quote, fight inflation and lower costs for American families while setting the stage for strong, stable, and broadly shared long-term economic growth.
Sold.
Nailed it.
I am sold. He is like a car salesman. I have no questions. You had me. You had me at 7 Nobel laureates. By the way, 7?
That number keeps dwindling.
Yeah, what happened? So we lost 10 in this process. So 17 of them were wrong about inflation, and now we've lost 10. So those 10 have to be right about, you know, this bill that they think is going to increase inflation and taxes. But we've got 7. Those 10, I'm going to say, disappointed Joe Biden. I don't think they'll be invited to the White House Christmas party this year. Those 10 are going to be sent to the farm where the major got sent to. You are no longer part of the best and brightest. You are no longer part of the Avengers. You might as well be part of the unvaccinated, as far as we're concerned. Credulous boomer rubes. Who are those 10? We've only got 7 now. Unbelievable. But yeah, he's convinced me. That all sounds really good. And the good news for Joe is that he's so excited about this big bill that they're passing. It's all good. It's wonderful stuff. And for a while, there was this obsession with testing. And remember, we used to say, like, why? That was always my question with COVID. And maybe we'll spend a little time on COVID in this hour because a few things do loop back into it. My question was always, and here's a perfect example. If someone's getting married and it's not out of the country, and then they find out like a week before, oh, you know, my cousin can't come, she has COVID, or oh, so-and-so can't come, she has COVID. And they're all young people. I'm like, well, how? Short of them working in a place like a hospital or something where you maybe have to be required to get testing, are they just going to get tested even though they have no symptoms just for fun? Like, I don't understand the point of getting tested if you are asymptomatic and if you're vaccinated. And I'm not sure why people are going. Maybe they have someone in their house who has comorbidities or someone who's particularly vulnerable. But for the most part, that's always been lost on me. Is why are you getting tested if you don't have any symptoms? Because you don't get tested for other things if you don't have any symptoms. I don't see people rushing to urgent care and saying, can I get tested for a sore throat? I don't have any symptoms for it, but I would like to know if I have one. Well, that testing has been really tough in D.C. because a lot of times it will delay everything. I mean, look at Joe Biden. He doesn't have any symptoms now, and he's been testing positive for COVID for what day are we on now, Jared? Like 14 or something?
Yes.
And there used to be this this testing policy. And I believe this is a quote from Chuck Schumer. Okay, now this is 2020, Chuck Schumer. This just goes to show you how people can change. Schumer in 2020. failure to implement a thorough testing approach would be intentionally reckless and could reasonably lead some wonder if Chairman Graham and Leader McConnell may not want to know the results because it would delay this already illegitimate process. Make no mistake about it, Americans are seeing the similarities between Republicans' willingness to put their colleagues and staff at risk in pursuit of power and their willingness to strip healthcare from tens of millions of Americans in pursuit of their ideological goals. So he thought people should be tested before some vote. I don't even remember what vote it was at the time. But he thinks that by not wanting people to be tested before this vote, Graham and McConnell were trying to put their colleagues in danger in pursuit of their goals. Well, this is an update. Senate Democrats, some of whom have decried their GOP colleagues' lenient attitude towards masking, have adopted an unofficial don't test, don't tell protocol of late, particularly as they endeavor to pass the historic Inflation Reduction Act this weekend. Whenever Democrats tell you something is historic, by the way, that means it's going to be historically terrible for you. One senior Senate aide told me they're not going to delay it if a member has gotten COVID. Counterparts are saying they're not going to test anymore. It's not an official mandate, but we all know we're not letting COVID get in the way. The deal is happening. Less testing, just wear masks and get it done. When Chuck Schumer was asked about a plan B today in case someone drops out with COVID, he said, "We're not talking about a plan B. We're going to stay healthy." Another source said that if you catch COVID, you can bring your ventilator and still vote. Huh. Well, that's strange. That sounds very dangerous. That sounds like Chuck Schumer doesn't want to know the results because it could delay this process and that he's willing to put his colleagues and staff at risk in pursuit of power.
Malicious dereliction of duty.
Nefarious, even.
By the Senate Majority Leader.
I agree.
Grandma killing Senate Majority Leader.
I agree. It's shameful, really. It's shameful. 844-500-4242. Speaking of COVID, we do have updates for you on Rand Paul. He was talking about Fauci last night, and he did a really, really great job of breaking down how many times Fauci has lied and what he's lied about. And I know that people tend to forget this stuff as time goes on, but it is important that Fauci be held accountable because he's told some big whoppers in his time. By the way, the quote I just read about the Democrats, it comes from the Puck newsletter by Catherine Doyle. She's a White House reporter at the Washington Examiner. So that's where I got this quote about the don't test, don't tell policy by Chuck Schumer, which disgusts me, by the way. I think it is shameful and abhorrent that he would put politics above the health and safety of his colleagues.
Nothing less than the Capitol is at stake here. This is a medical insurrection.
Ooh, I like that. I like that, Jared. I'm afraid you're turning into a Democrat. You're getting so good at your sarcasm. 844-500-4242. We'll be back. We'll talk more about Rand Paul versus Dr. Fauci. We'll take your calls, and we've got some local news for you in this hour. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Hi, it's Toby from Cape Gunworks. I'm taking all your firearm and self-defense questions every Tuesday. Join Grace and me for 2A Tuesday, Tuesdays at 2 p.m.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curly.
I'm loving the Friday bumpers today. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Thank you all so much for your texts, for calling in, for being a part of the show. I just got a text from a family member who said the Fauci sound makes me happy. And that's all Jared. I can't take credit for that one. 844-500-4242. Let's throw it out to the callers here. Zebra, you're next up. Go ahead, Zebra.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. First, I want to thank you for being very informative and really getting down into the weeds of things. But I think I got to ask you a question. Do you think it's we got to do it on both levels now? Because not everyone takes the time to listen to everything. And I think we can get some traction and get people listening more if we rename these things what they actually are, like the Inflation Production Act.
That's a good one.
Well, it rhymes. It's instead of reduction, it's production, and it's exactly what it is. And just like we had to take the narrative away from them with the Don't Say Gay bill, which didn't have that in there, we called it the Groomer bill, and they went nuts. So we got to fight them. I love the way you get into everything and make sense, but we got to win over those that middle group of people that were insane enough to vote for Biden, and. That regret it. So what do you think about we just start calling it what it is, like ESG? We'll call it the Economic Slavery Guidebook, because that's what it is. You know, we just change the words and throw them off.
Well, I had actually...
off base.
Zebra, I had actually said earlier that I wanted to change up this Inflation Reduction Act. And like you said, I wanted to use their own tactic against them as far as the Democrats go, and start naming things what they actually should be called and what they're actually going to do. And we had a couple of submissions, but I think yours is my favorite so far, the Inflation Production Act. That's a wonderful name.
The IPA.
Name. The IPA. Yum. I like it. No, and it's very true, and you are right about the fact that not everybody is in the weeds. But I want to offer you this, and I say this because I had asked John Cardillo earlier. I saw a Reuters poll earlier today. No, you know what? It wasn't Reuters. It was Rasmussen. And they were talking about the red wave and how it might be diminishing a bit. And I always go back to the Obama years and other Democrats who have been in office. And there are issues that mobilize Republicans who really pay attention, but don't mobilize the less interested group and the people that Zebra was just referring to, who are people who didn't like Trump and voted for Biden so they could go to the book club and say, I didn't vote for that awful orange man. But they liked Trump's policies. They just didn't like him as a person. And sometimes those people are not paying attention to, say, the Benghazi stories and things like that. Things that should enrage all Americans. But if you're not tuned in every day to Fox News, or if you're not tuned into some of these outlets, you think it's a Republican talking point. You think it's a hoax made up by Republicans. Here's where I will give you a little glimmer of hope. I don't think you have to be at this point someone who pays attention every day to understand what's happening. And I actually said this yesterday on a channel where people do pay attention a lot, and that's Newsmax. I said, we're not waiting for Joe Biden or Janet Yellen or Brian Deese to confirm inflation or to confirm how things are going. We can confirm it ourselves when we open our wallets. We can confirm it when we go to the gas station. You can confirm it when your kid comes home and talks about how someone in the classroom identifies as a cat. That's your confirmation that things aren't going well. You don't need an egghead on TV to tell you that. And that gives me hope, because I think a lot of people who might not answer pollsters' questions or might not seem overly enthusiastic about 2022 are going to show up this time and say, it can't keep going down this road. 844-500-4242. We will continue to take your calls when we come back. We're also going to talk about the MBTA. We have an update for you. It's not the orange line. It's a different line. And Jared's going to tell us about that. Plus the Rand Paul sound that I promised. There's a lot of investigations I would love for Republicans to get into if they take back over the House. Fauci's won and Afghanistan's won, and we have sound on both of those topics for you. When we come back, it's Friday. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Dr. Fauci, give me that ouchie.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Yes, we need to talk about Dr. Fauci, because when it comes to stories or, you know, scandals that have happened over the last couple of years that I would love the Republicans to investigate, a few really stick out. And one of them is COVID-19 and how Dr. Fauci handled this. And someone who has been at the forefront of it is Senator and Doctor, although you'll never hear the media call him a doctor. I think Howie's always been really smart to point that out, because I don't know if I would have caught it that when it's Ben Carson, it's just Ben Carson. It's not Dr. Ben Carson, because he's just a medical doctor. You know, he's just a surgeon. And when it's Rand Paul, it's just Rand Paul. But when it's Jill Biden, or when it's Barbara Ferrer, or whatever her name is from LA, they're doctors because they have PhDs, and that's important.
Admiral Dr. Rachel Levine.
In case of emergency, those are the people you want around. You want the PhDs in the room so they can come over and break down an interesting sonnet for you while you say, is anyone a doctor? Yeah. Yeah, I'm reading you my thesis right now. What do you understand about that, idiot? So Dr. Rand Paul. Dr. Rand Paul was talking about Dr. Fauci, and I want to play this cut for you. This was on Jesse Waters Primetime. Cut 19, please, Jared.
You know, I know this is going to be shocking, but we learned that Dr. Fauci has been lying to us. The three scientists agreed that this was dangerous research. Two out of the three absolutely said it was gain of function. The third said it was dangerous research and should have gone before a committee. When Dr. Fauci said, oh, we've reviewed this and the experts have looked at this and says it's not gain of function, even that wasn't true. There was a committee that was formed after 2017 to look at this dangerous research. They didn't look at this research at all because they never reviewed it. So no one reviewed this to say it wasn't gain-of-function research. They didn't review it, period.
Oh, I'm sure it'll be really easy to review it now, like getting toothpaste back into a bottle, you know, back into the tube. I'm sure there'll be no problem figuring it out now. I'm sure none of that information will be deleted or discarded. No. This will be like doing the investigation into COVID-19 after Chinese officials were able to go in there and delete everything they wanted to. But we do need to have an investigation into what Dr. Fauci knew. And this gain of function debate has been happening for a very long time. And I don't see any evidence to suggest that Dr. Fauci is telling us the truth, or that what we were seeing in those labs was not gain of function. The only person who seems to show up to these things with facts and with paperwork and with things to go back on is Rand Paul. And Dr. Fauci just wags his finger and says, here you go again, Senator, trying to make me out to be a bad person with your Republican talking points. Another thing I would love for Republicans to look into, and another thing that has not been investigated nearly enough, there hasn't been a scintilla of digging into what happened in Afghanistan, at least not enough for what we need. When you compare it to the scope of the disaster that it was a major disaster. And
Grace, that was like 4 or 5 days ago, man.
It was 4 or 5 days ago. That is a fair point. That is. I don't know how I can argue with that, but I'm going to try. I'm going to try, Jared. But one of the people who was questioned about this was Christopher Wray. Christopher Wray is the director of the FBI, and he has overseen so many failures. And he was asked about Afghanistan. He was asked about the process because the Biden administration kept bragging about these airlifts they were having. They were like the biggest airlifts ever. They were historic. There's been a lot of history made in the Biden White House. When Jen Psaki is watching the historians write the history books, there's going to be a lot of things to add in. All of it bad, but still history nonetheless. So they kept bragging about all these airlifts and were bringing in. And of course, some people were noticing that the people who were being airlifted didn't have masks on. But that's, I would say that's beside the point. But for Democrats, that was a big point. But a lot of people were brought in kind of the chaos. And we didn't have a great process set up. As the woman in the New York Times article was talking about the illegal aliens in New York City, we didn't have the infrastructure. There wasn't an infrastructure in place. And so Josh Hawley, who the Democrats hate, Josh Hawley, he was questioning Christopher Wray. And I wanted to play you this cut, cut 15.
Mr. Chairman, the whistleblower has also alleged that political appointees to the National Security Council and at DOD instructed agency personnel to cut corners when they were processing Afghan evacuees. And rather than administer fingerprint tests on all 10 fingers, for instance, to abbreviate those tests in order to promote rushed evacuation, they also alleged that personnel at DHS who worked on vetting Afghan refugees had been authorized to delete old biometric data whenever they personally want to. Obviously, these are very troubling allegations. Are you aware of this behavior at DHS and DOD?
I'm not familiar with the report that you're referring to. I will say that this was a massive number of people to be vetting in an extraordinarily short period of time, and that in my view, inevitably raises concerns.
Oh, I think you're absolutely right about that. Inevitably you, raises Senator. Concerns, I think, is the nicest thing that could be said about it. In fact,
you,
we know that the basic procedures were not followed. We know that the screening process was not followed. And now we know that potentially hundreds of people connected to terrorism are loose in this country as a result.
So it's nice to get the confirmation from Christopher Wray about that, that he finds it concerning, but he's not familiar with the report. These hearings would be a lot easier if, rather than asking them things that they're not familiar with, they just pose the question, before we get going here, what are you familiar with? Is there anything that you feel like you have a good grasp on? Is there anything that, do you guys have a sort of like a PDB, as Kamala would say, but an FBI PB? Do you have any sort of briefing that you read every day? Is there any reading going on at all? What do you know about? That might help us in this pursuit of information. And John Kennedy, who always does a great job, Senator Kennedy, he was also talking to Christopher Wray, and he was focusing on, I mean, I hope they have 10 hours blocked off for these hearings, because they can't even scrape the surface. Each one of these things, whether it be Whitmer's kidnapping, whether it be Larry Nassar, I mean, there are so many failures in the FBI that you would need days and days and days to just cover one. But Christopher Wray was being asked by Kennedy about the FBI agents who were posting things on social media. And this is going to shock you, but I don't think all these FBI agents are nonpartisan. I think some of them have political leanings. And I think John Kennedy did a really good job of explaining that. He was reading the social media postings from FBI agent, and Taylor corrected us the other day on this. Is it Tybalt? Dibble?
I believe it is Tybalt.
Tybalt.
I've heard.
Okay. So this is cut 23. This is John Kennedy.
Isn't it true that in September of 2020, Special Agent Tebow went on social media and liked a Washington Post article entitled, quote, William Barr has gone rogue?
I have seen descriptions to that effect.
Oh, God.
I have to be a little bit careful about how far we can go in this conversation because of specific ongoing personnel matters.
Oh.
Isn't it true that also in September of 2020, Special Agent Tebow went on social media and posted a Washington Post article entitled, quote, Why the Michael Flynn Case Still Matters?
A similar answer to the one I gave before.
Isn't it true that in November of 2020, Special Agent Tebow, assistant special agent in charge of the D.C. office, who allegedly worked on the Trump-Russia collusion investigation and the Hunter Biden investigation, retweeted a Lincoln Project tweet that said, quote, Donald Trump is a psychologically broken, embittered, and deeply unhappy man?
Again, you know, I've seen descriptions of posts, and I really try to be very careful not to get in the way of any ongoing personnel matters.
I cannot tell you how tired I am of that answer. The investigation continues. We wouldn't want to jeopardize any of these investigations, which I'm sure you guys are going to get to the bottom of, because you have such a good track record of cracking these cases. Yeah, we wouldn't want anything to go wrong, because nothing ever goes wrong when the FBI is involved. I'm sure that we're going to get to the bottom of this one. They're going to connect the dots. Do they get sick of themselves? I get sick when I listen to them, because that's how full of crap they are. Can I have one more, dear? This is cut 25, John Kennedy.
This man had been with the FBI for 25 years. He's now on leave. He did this kind of stuff as recently as last month. Do you know how this looks to the American people?
I will tell you that what you're describing is not representative of the FBI that I see up close every day in this country, where I see patriots working their tails off
and I
with tremendous integrity and objectivity.
I agree with that and have said that to you repeatedly. But you're killing yourselves with this stuff. And this investigation needs to be completed on this gentleman.
Can we pause here? It's not representative of the men in the FBI. It's just the special agent involved. It's just a special agent who's overseeing things, who's doing these social media postings. Got it. Oh, really great defense there, Christopher Ray. Jared, can you give us a quick local update on the MBTA, please?
Yes. So we know the Orange Line is closing down for a month so they can make it worse. But one of the Orange Line stops actually is Forest Hills. At Forest Hills today, an MBTA bus caught on fire this morning. One of the buses that was probably helping out transport people who couldn't take the lines. But now the Green Line extension is going to be closed for a month. Now, that's not the whole Green Line. This specifically is the extension, which runs, it'll be both ways, running from Government Center to Union Square and Union Square to Government Center. They're also halting any new construction on tracks or Green Line extension projects. So that's down for another month. So,
well, if
blue bikes for everyone,
if all of this makes you think you might have to be taking a car in somebody's car, maybe hopping in carpool, I have good news for you. You can win $50 worth of gas money if you go to gracecurlyshow.com and enter your email. And today our gas money winner is Barry. Congratulations, Barry.
You won! You did it!
Keep an eye out for an email from store@howiecarshow.com. Again, just go to gracecurlyshow.com to enter to win. It looks like history is repeating itself. Today, Biden's economy is mirroring that of Jimmy Carter's. The parallels are uncanny. Under Carter, both the stock market and the dollar lost more than half their value. The price of oil quadrupled and the economy tanked as inflation ran rampant. Those who owned precious metals in the 1970s saw the value of gold rise over 1,300%. The big difference between Carter and Biden, well, one, I think Carter was semi with it, which I can't say about Joe Biden. But also, Carter wasn't trying to legislate the taxing of retirement accounts, merging them with Social Security, or trying to replace the dollar bill with digital money, as Democrats are trying to do today. What we are seeing is a once-in-every-generation opportunity. Some analysts predict gold as high as $5,000, and others predict $15,000 in 3 years. Get Monetary Gold's complimentary protection guide if you want to protect your savings. Monetary Gold is rated a top five with the BBB, and my listeners who open a qualified account now will receive up to $5,000 in free gold or silver. That's right, $5,000 in free gold or silver. So call 888-617-7994. That's 888-617-7994. Or visit them at monetarygold.com/grace. That's monetarygold.com/grace. We'll be right back with Howie Carr. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Grace Curley, she's working for you.
I'm like Bette Midler and for the boys. Gotta keep the troops entertained.
Today's poll question is brought to you by J.J. Manning Auctioneers. Whether residential, commercial, or land, J.J. Manning can get your property sold now. To learn more, contact Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111 or go to jjmanning.com. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Who pulling more votes for Liz Cheney, Dick Cheney, or Kevin Costner?
What was the big movie Kevin Costner was in? Field of Dreams?
Field of Dreams was the big one. Bull Durham. Waterworld.
Yeah, and the one Waterworld that Dick Cheney was in, Christian Bale played him, right? And when he won an award, didn't he say that he portrayed the devil or something?
Yes.
So I'm going to go Kevin Costner just based off critic reviews. And
Kevin Costner.
Oh, Jared.
Kevin Costner in the lead 80% to 20% for The Devil Dick Cheney.
If you haven't seen the movie The Bodyguard, shame on you. Watch it this weekend. Today's car crossover is brought to you by Fairway Financial. Preparation and planning is the key to your retirement future. Visit fairwayfinancial.net. Howie Carr joins us now. Howie, thanks so much for coming on the show.
My pleasure.
Howie, there's so many things to talk about today, but you and I earlier had been talking about the horrible, horrible situation in New York City. There's so many crimes to discuss, but one of them that caught my eye was the McDonald's crime, where a man's mother called him and was complaining that she didn't get hot enough French fries at McDonald's, and he walked down to the McDonald's and shot the worker in the neck. And it's just, it's horrific.
I mean, this is the second one this summer, because there was that case in Spanish Harlem where this 19-year-old girl didn't want to go to work on a Friday night at, I think, a Burger King.
Yeah.
And her mother told her, nah, you got to go. You got to do the shift. And she went in, and some homeless guy, an illegal alien, just walked in and shot her.
And
killed her.
In the case of this most recent murder, Michael Morgan, who's now in custody for shooting the McDonald's employee, had no sooner been arrested than he was slapped with a rap for an unrelated slaying back in 2020. Morgan allegedly confessed to the slaying of Kevin Holloman, who was shot three times. Just one of the hundreds of murders that happens in the city each year that are random, brutal, life-destroying for the families. So Holloman's killing, and this is from the New York Post, would have stayed another unsolved murder had Morgan's mother not complained this week that she'd been served cold fries. But the point is, these people, these criminals in New York are committing crime after crime after crime.
Right. And you know, there was a case a couple of weeks ago in Rochester. These two cops were patrolling, and some guy just came up and shot both of them and killed one of them, a 54-year-old guy. You know what it turns out? Turns out the guy's from Boston. And he has a rap sheet going. He's 21, has a rap sheet going back to the age of 12, and he was just cut loose by Charlie Parker 2 months ago. And he goes to Rochester, New York, and kills this cop who's just walking down the street. I mean, it was not a botched robbery or a carjacking. He just shot the guy walking down the street.
The violence is unbelievable, and it's also strange. Like you just mentioned, Charlie Parker, but there's so many people who have blood on their hands in these situations that have just let this go on, whether it be the district attorneys. Does anyone put their heads on their pillow and think, wow, I'm ruining lives. I'm literally destroying families.
I mean, we got a race in Suffolk County in Boston. You got this guy, Ricardo Arroyo from his father, I used to call him No Show Arroyo. Now you got this guy, he's Let Him Go Arroyo. And he's a city councilor, and he's basically a Soros clone. I don't know how much money he's getting, but he's a Soros type of guy. And he's running against this guy, Kevin Hayden, who's kind of a moderate. And I'm just, you know, and all the wokesters have gotten behind Let Him Go Arroyo. And it's tough. And, you know, you got to be, you know, if you're in Suffolk County, you got to be sure, and you're a Democrat, you got to get out and vote in September. For Hayden, Kevin Hayden.
Yeah, it's something to see all of this chaos in these cities. And you have to think that people are waking up to it, but I don't know. We'll find out. 844-500-4242. Howie Carr has an amazing show coming up. It's a jam-packed Friday. So don't go anywhere. We'll be back Monday. I'm Grace Curley.